Thank you, David. Well, it's really great to be back with you this morning. I was just thinking, I think I've actually been at West Coast more times in the last 4 months than I've been at our home church in Winnipeg. I've been on sabbatical for a few weeks, so it's really good to be with you. Good to be with Barney this morning and to be working together on this. You have your Bibles, if you want to just open to 1 Timothy 3, chapter 1. The scripture says, Paul's writing, this is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. And the first thing the scripture says here is that eldership is an office. It's an office of government. And we're going to be strengthening that government this morning as we set Andrew in. The second thing it says here is that eldership is a noble task. It's noble and it's a task. It's work. And so Andrew is going to be prayed in with that kind of grace this morning. And then the third thing it says is you need to desire this. You need to aspire to it. You need to want to do it. It's a high calling, a noble calling. And the Bible says that when we desire it and aspire to it, that's the way it should be. And so Andrew has agreed to that this morning. The appointment or ordination of elders is really the recognition of God's call on a man's life. It's God setting them apart to serve the church and to shepherd the flock of God. In the book of Titus, chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul writes this to Titus, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order," meaning to straighten out further, "the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." And this word appoint means to set in order, to place down permanently. And so something's going to happen in the grace of God today as we lay hands on Andrew and pray for him and also for Rochelle. We're recognizing and affirming the grace of God and the call of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit on Andrew's life. You know, we can't make someone an elder. It's the grace of God that does that. And then we recognize it and affirm it. And so we're going to be doing that as an overseer of West Coast today. And Andrew, you're also going to be working in unity with the other elders, with Dave and Charlie and Tony and David Ferguson and Jeff Dresselhaus. Right. I got them all, did I? Praise the Lord. While the Bible is clear that the elders in Christ's church are to be men, we're fully aware that behind every good man is an exceptional woman who releases him and supports him to do and to be all that he's called to do and be in this service. And so, Rochelle, we are going to be praying for you with as you stand with Andrew, because you're a very necessary and significant part of this service. So Andrew's going to come now and give us a little testimony of his calling to this noble task. And then we're going to have a charge to Andrew. And then we're going to have a charge to the congregation. And then we're going to pray for you and your wife.
Yeah, Ron just asked me to share how I came to believe in God and just how I God's call on my life to leadership. And so I became a Christian when I was 4 years old. That was the first step. Significant that my sister was the one who came down the stairs, my older sister, at our home, and she was just full of joy. And I asked her, "Why are you so happy?" And I don't know why I asked that as a four-year-old, but I did. And she said, "Well, Dad's just prayed with me. I've just given my heart to God, and God's come into my heart." And I said, "Well, I want that too." And she said, "Well, go upstairs, and Dad will pray with you, and you can have him in your heart as well." So off I went upstairs, and sure enough, Dad agreed to that, and he prayed with me, and I accepted Jesus into my heart. And that was the first step. And obviously, there's many steps along the way, and I remember one other step, which was also my sister, which wasn't in such a positive light, but it's not the end of the story for her. But when she was 16, she was walking away from God, and I asked her, "Why?" Another question: "Why are you why are you not following God? And she said, well, my friends aren't into it. And, you know, just you wait till you get to my age. You won't be into it either. And I said, oh, yes, I will. And I made a decision. And there was a decision in my heart that, yes, I would. And so that's a couple of moments in my life where I just, and obviously ongoing moments where you're choosing God. And I recognize that one of the things that I think has been God, has kept me in God is, I just love to take the guitar into my room and to worship God. And I experience the presence of God there. And that is something I knew was real and that kept me going and kept going back to. And I've always had a desire in my heart to be involved in leading churches and in that. I don't know when that started. My dad was a pastor. And is always pastoring people. And then in September, they've asked if I'd consider becoming an elder. And Rochelle and I went away and prayed about it. But immediately in our hearts, we just felt, yes, this is actually right. And we felt God saying, immediately I felt God saying, yep, this is the timing for you. This is right. And even though life is busy and we've got another baby on the way and all of that, I just felt a peace about that. And God saying, yeah, this is the time.
Good. Okay, Andrew, you can take your place by your wife there. And if you would remain standing as we have this chart. By the way, Andrew and Rochelle and the Ferguson family and others did such a great job last night. I thought the way you two stood up there and just unashamedly worshiped Jesus and sang those songs was wonderful. That was a great evening. Andrew, this call to shepherd and oversee God's people is first a call to God and secondly a call to His people. It's first a call to be in Christ and in the Holy Spirit, and second a call to do. To pray and to teach and to care and to encourage and to love and to shepherd. It's a call to lead and a call to nurture and a call to serve. It's a call to give yourself away and the call to guard yourself and your priorities and this flock of God. It's a high calling and one that you need the grace and power and wisdom of God to fulfill. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "The elders among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly." Andrew, do you accept and acknowledge the honor and privilege of serving as an elder of West Coast Christian Fellowship? And will you, with God's help and by His grace, seek to serve eagerly and willingly? The Bible says in Deuteronomy 14, verse 2, "You are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." Psalm 135 verse 4 says, "But you are chosen for Himself, Jacob, Israel, for His special treasure." 1 Peter 2, 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you." And Acts 20 verse 28 says, "Shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." Andrew, do you recognize these are God's people, not yours? They are His precious possession, His special treasure, purchased with Christ's own blood. And will you, with God's help, seek to serve God's people as a steward, not an owner, recognizing they're an entrustment from God, for which you will have to give an account one day? Now, Andrew, I want you to just look around at all these beautiful faces, God's treasured special possession. These are the people God is giving you to serve. And there are many others who are yet to come who will be part of this family to serve. 1 Peter 5, verse 3, the Bible says, not as lording it over those entrusted to you, but being an example to the flock. And 1 Timothy 3, verse 4 and 5, the scripture says, an elder must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for the church of God? Andrew, will you, with God's help, handle God's people with love and gentleness, humility, seeking their good at your expense, never using them for your own selfish ends or for building your own self-esteem? And will you, by God's grace, be an example as a disciple, a learner, a follower of Jesus, as a husband, as a father, as a brother, as a neighbor, in godliness, servanthood, transparency, and sincerity? The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3, 2 and Titus 1, 8, therefore an overseer as God's steward must be hospitable. And that word hospitable means to love strangers, to be fond of guests. Andrew and Rochelle, will you, with God's help, love strangers, be fond of guests, open your home and your hearts to the brethren and to all those God will bring your way? Acts 20 and verse 28 to 30 says, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His blood. And Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 3 talks about walking worthy of the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ, with all lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Andrew, do you recognize you've been called and yoked together to serve and stand alongside these other elders to complement each other in the work of the Lord at West Coast Christian Fellowship? And will you, with God's help, diligently and earnestly and hastily endeavor to keep and protect and guard the unity that you have with these brothers in the Holy Spirit? Will you take heed to yourself first, watching over your own heart with all diligence, being ruthless with sin and accountable in all your attitudes and actions? And will you take heed to the flock, secondly, watching over them with love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things? Acts 20 and 20 and 27 say, how can I keep, I kept back, this is Paul talking to the Ephesians, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, for I have not avoided declaring to you the whole counsel of God. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, Paul writes, preach the word in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, encourage with all patience and teaching. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul says again, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. Study to show yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of God. In Romans 12 and 13, the scripture says, continue steadfastly in prayer. And in Colossians 4 verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Andrew, will you, with God's help and by His grace, feed this flock with the Word of God, speaking the truth in love and equipping God's people with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? And will you, with God's help, earnestly continue in prayer, upholding this people and your fellow elders before God's throne of grace? You may be seated. Now, congregation, here's your charge. So if you're a part of West Coast Christian Fellowship this morning, would you please stand? And the correct answer is either I will or I do. Hebrews 13 and verse 17 says this, "Obey those who rule over you or lead you, and be submissive, for they watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." West Coast Christian Fellowship, do you receive Andrew as a leader and elder, as one who will lead you and watch out for your souls? We will. That's good. And will you, with God's help, seek to obey Him as unto the Lord and be submissive, that you may be profited and that He might be joyful? Very good. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 and 13. "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." West Coast Christian Fellowship, do you recognize Andrew as one who labors among you and who is over you in the Lord and who watches out for your souls? And will you, with God's help, esteem Him highly in love and be at peace among yourselves? Well, that was a little quieter. This might be a bigger challenge. Will you, with God's help, take your concerns to Him and the other elders rather than letting them smolder or fester or turn to gossip? Amen. And lastly, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25. "Brethren, pray for us," Paul says. West Coast Christian Fellowship, will you, with God's help, diligently pray for Andrew, Rochelle, and their family? Amen. You may be seated. Andrew and Rochelle, would you like to come forward? And David and the elders, if you would like to come. Arnold and John, if you would like to join us, we're going to lay hands on these folk and pray for them. Barney. Here's your first test, Andrew. Yeah. Why don't we all stand together? In the middle, you guys. Father, we thank you so much for your wisdom, your infinite wisdom, your eternal wisdom, Lord. We sung about it this morning and we're so grateful for it. We thank you for the wisdom of the church, Lord, that you would pour this treasure into earthen vessels. You would manifest your glory through people, broken people like us, and through this vehicle you call the church, this precious, treasured possession that Christ has suffered and died and risen again and is the very head of. And we thank you for that this morning. We thank you for Andrew's willingness and Rochelle's willingness for her husband to serve in this area. And we thank you for how clear the scriptures are on the characteristics of an elder and the responsibilities of an elder. And Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning we lay hands on this man and we set him in, Lord. We place down permanently. We set in order and pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon him in a powerful way. Lord, all these charges we've done, we just say they're impossible for us to do. We cannot do them apart from the Holy Spirit. But we thank you, you've given us the Helper who resides in us, who comes upon us, who anoints us. And we pray for that anointing this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, fill this man with wisdom and insight and love and wisdom and grace and songs and poetry and the Word of God, Lord. And we pray that he would know the power and grace gifts of the Holy Spirit as he serves this church. We pray, Lord, that he would be an equipper of these people in Jesus' name. And we pray for your anointing on Rochelle, Lord. I thank you for her. I thank you for the power and grace that's on her life. And we pray for your special anointing for her to be all that you've called her to be and to do all that you've called her to do in Jesus' mighty name.
Lord, just we as elders want to receive Andrew and Rochelle this morning. Lord, we just want to echo what Ron just said. Your church and your body, we are a treasured possession to you. And Lord, we want to declare right now that Andrew and Rochelle are a treasured possession that you have given to us, Lord. And we would receive them right now, not as just two other people to share the load with or something like that. But we want to receive them right now as a treasured possession, Lord. Father, we receive them as a gift from you, not just of who they are to us, but who they are to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to thank you for giving us such a generous and treasured possession of these two. Lord, I thank you for Andrew, for the wisdom you've placed in him. And I just want to thank you, Lord, but I thank you especially, Lord, for who he is to you. Father, we release everything you have in store for him, and Lord, we receive him to us as a treasured possession. And would you help us day in, day out to look at each other and to look at him in that way. Thank you, Lord God.
Andrew, as we were just praying for you, I saw a green field with green grass. And you've grown up in a green field and been well nurtured. But as I looked into the grass, which was green and tall, I saw flowers at the base. And God has called you to look at the green fields and pick the flowers that are growing among the green grass. And the more flowers that you pick, the more flowers appear. For there is not an infinite number of those flowers, but they continue to go. The more you pick them, the more they will appear. And God has called you to pick the flowers among the green grass.
Amen. Andrew, God's called you to be a sweet psalmist. He's also called you to be a prophetic psalmist. He's called you to be a psalmist who lifts up the Lord Jesus. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you is particularly to be a prophetic psalmist who speaks deep into people's hearts, deep calling unto deep. A psalmist that releases people by the Holy Spirit into praise and into worship, whose winsome spirit causes their spirits to rise up. The Lord has called you to be one who has truth in his psalms, in his songs. God's truth, big truth. Truth like, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I cause your enemies to be made a footstool for your feet." That sort of truth, says the Lord. Be strong in the strength of the Almighty Holy Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of knowledge. The Spirit of understanding. And the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. So that you won't write out of your good ideas, nor preach out of your own good thoughts, but it will be the anointing upon you out of which you will speak and write and sing. The Lord has given you a wonderful wife. That she complements you powerfully. And as you two work together, there are some marriages where the husband does his ministry and the wife does her ministry in opposite directions. The Lord hasn't called you to do that. He's called you to be true yoke fellows, to work together, harnessed together and yoked to the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Andrew, I'm reminded of three passages in Scripture. Of Elisha as the city is besieged, and he saw and knew the chariots of God around him. And you see the chariots of God around you, around the people of God. And Elisha prayed for his servant, that his servant would see. He prayed, and he sent the servant out until the servant saw as well. But he prayed. And Ezekiel, as the glory of God had left the temple, the Spirit of God lifted Ezekiel and took him to the temple, to the new city, the new building, and showed him how it was laid out and where the way in was and where the way out was. And he showed Ezekiel that Ezekiel would record it and would speak to the people, and the people would see and believe. But it's a spiritual thing. The Spirit lifted up Ezekiel. The Spirit opened the eyes of Ezekiel and showed him where God is there. And of Moses too, the second time that the people complained of a lack of water, and God spoke to Moses and said to speak to the rock, not to strike it, but to speak to the rock. And Moses in his weakness struck the rock, and it was of great cost to Moses. The people still received all that the Lord had for him, for them, the water to feed them and to feed their beasts. But for Moses it was at great cost. He never entered the promised land himself. And Father, I ask that you would pour upon Andrew and Rochelle and the family, Father, you would pour upon them your spirit of humility. Your spirit, Father, it comes from you. It isn't of a man that would humble himself, but it's the Spirit of Christ who would humble himself and who would obey the word of the Lord and speak the word of the Lord. Oh, Andrew, the Lord has plans to bless the people of God. The Lord has plans to bring the nations to praise the living God. And as you speak the word faithfully, as you train your tongue to shut your mouth when you don't have the word of the Lord, and to open your mouth and to speak carefully the word of the Lord, then water will gush out from the rock and will feed the people and the beasts, and peoples will come to praise the living God. All the nations will come to praise the living God. This is something to receive from the Spirit of God. It isn't natural to you, Andrew. It isn't natural to Rochelle. It isn't natural to your children. But this is something for you to be strong in your hand and to lay hold of God and wrestle with God, and don't let go until you receive this weakness. Amen.
Eternal, immortal, invisible God. Eternal, immortal, May be seated. We have one more word.
Just a short little word. Psalm 119, verse 18, just says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." I believe God wants to give you the spirit of revelation of His word and to open your eyes to receive things that you've never received before from Him. Father, we want to just say that we receive Andrew, and we thank you for Andrew. Lord, that we're not asking that you cause him to learn from us, but Lord, we say we receive the portion that you have given Andrew.
Thank you, Lord.
We receive the gift that you have given him. And Lord, we look forward to how you will build our congregation by adding him into the mix. Thank you, Lord. Pour out your power now.
Yes,
pour out your grace. Pour out your heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let's take our seats. Can you help me? It's gentle.